to our volume study on page 170. Oh, no, I didn't do that. Let's see, I want to share. Control the buttons here.
Mâna ar fi 170, paragraful 2, legând lanțul profetic.
Here is page 170 on the screen. And we've just asked a few persons to do a reading, and if you have some comments to add it, to kind of open up our discussion. So we have a new heading. Connecting the prophetic chain. 170, paragraph 2. So I'm going to ask Sister Sharon Fifield to read that and offer any comments, please.
Connecting the prophetic chain. In the preceding chapter, we presented evidence showing that the times of the Gentiles, or their lease of dominion, will run fully out with the year 1914 AD, and that at that time they will be overturned and Christ's kingdom fully established. Footnote, how long it will require to accomplish this overturning, we are not informed, but have reason to believe the period will be short. That the Lord must be present and set up his kingdom and exercise his great power so as to dash the nations to pieces as a potter's vessel is then clearly fixed, for it is in the days of these kings before their overthrow, that is before 1914 AD, that the God of heaven shall set up his kingdom, and it shall break in pieces and consume all these, Daniel 2:44. And in harmony with this, we see all about us evidence of the beginning of the smiting, shaking, and overturning of the present powers, preparatory to the establishment of the kingdom, which cannot be moved, the strong government. The question to this is, why would we say our Lord must be present to set up his kingdom? Well, Jehovah's the one that's going to set up Christ's dominion. It says, I will give thee the Gentiles for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for their possession. The Gentile kingdoms have been permitted to hold power until the time of the Messiah, but no longer than that. And reprint 1161, but though such is the calamitous outlook for the near future, there will be a blessed outcome to its short work. For in the midst of the mountain kingdom, which I also say a government, because I like that, of the Lord's house, shall be established and shall be exalted above the melting hills or kingdoms or governments of the old dominions, and its blessed reinvigorating influence is significantly referred to in the prophet's statement, the mountains shall drop sweet wine. It refers to Daniel 2:44 in the paragraph, and it says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, government, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom, government, shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. There's a mess that they're talking about, a terrible shakeup, a terrible overruling of the governments that have been running the world, the times of the Gentiles. And it's going to take Jesus Christ and his strength and knowledge and love to calm everything down, show us the way to go, to serve him and his father, and to just take charge. It's going to take Jesus Christ to do it. No one else, no thing else could do it. Thank you.
And thank you for those comments and for the reading. So this setting up of the kingdom, the king must be present. Thank you. So we'll open this for some additional comments and perspectives. I think it probably caught everyone's eye that that by 1914 it would be fully established, and we would just point everyone to this was in 1889, I think, written in 1889, and in 1916. He had a foreword that's in foreword Roman numeral number 3 that expands on this point, that rather than the end of the end, it's the beginning of the end, sort of a summary there. But I see a hand from Brother Tim. Go ahead, please.
You mentioned a foreword, and I thought maybe we should read it.
Okay. Do you have it open there?
Yes, I do.
I see... I don't know, maybe two paragraphs.
Yes.
First and second might be good if you would like. This is Roman numeral number 3, which is written just about 30 days before Brother Russell died.
Okay. The author acknowledges that in this book, he presents the thought that the Lord's saints might expect to be with him in glory at the end of the at the end of the Gentile times. This was a natural mistake to fall into, but the Lord overruled it for the blessings of his people. He thought that the church would be gathered to glory before October 1914.
Could I pause you just for a moment? Just pause for a moment, Brother Tim. Where are you reading? Because I was looking at Roman numeral 3, and what you're reading is good, but I'm not sure where you were reading.
I'm reading at the very, very end.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's good. Could you also pick up the paragraph?
Okay.
Roman numeral 3, which begins, this volume sets forth.
Sure, I could do that. This volume sets forth what the author has been preaching for over 40 years, that the times of the Gentiles, chronology ended in the fall of AD 1914. The expression, the times of the Gentiles in the Bible usage signifies the years or the periods of time in which the Gentile nations of the world were to be permitted and to have control following the taking away of the typical kingdom from natural Israel and filling the hiatus between the events of the establishment of God's kingdom in the hands of Messiah, whose right it is, Ezekiel 21:27. Want me to keep going?
I'm going to have someone else read the next paragraph, so let's just pick up that
one. And Sister Amanda, I didn't do a very good job either.
do you have it also, Amanda? Could you read the next one for us? Okay.
We are not able to see behind.
We could not.
Oh.
Going by before it. Yeah.
We could not, of course, know in 1889 whether the date 1914, so clearly marked in the Bible as the end of the Gentile lease of power or permission to rule the world, would mean that they would be fully out of power at that time, or whether their lease expiring, their eviction would begin. The latter we perceived to be the Lord's program, and promptly in August 1914, the Gentile kingdoms referred to in the prophecy began the present great struggle, which, according to the Bible, will culminate in the complete overthrow of all human government, opening the way for the full establishment of the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Should I keep going?
No. No, that's good. I suppose we could just read right on to the end of the foreword, but maybe it's enough for just right now. Any additional comments on kind of how does this kind of relate to the paragraph we first read on 170? Anyone a comment? I see some hands online. Let's go with the Ostranders first.
I really think the footnote, this footnote is very important. How long it will require to accomplish this overturning, we were not informed. And that's where we are. So it's being done. And in Psalms 2, Sister Sharon mentioned one of the scriptures. In Psalms 2, verse 6, God says, I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. And then in verse 9, the pastor uses the symbology of, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. He uses that analogy there in the paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Donna. And, you know, Brother Tim began to read that last paragraph in the foreword, and if we consider all of that, Brother Russell is saying our mistake was not in regard to the Gentile times. They have ended and great changes are taking place, but we should not expect everything to have been accomplished by them. So there's a nice perspective. And we have another hand online from Brother Jim Schrecker.
Yeah, obviously we are way beyond 1914 at this point, and I'm sorry, I have such a frog in my throat, I can't speak, so go on to somebody else. Sorry.
Okay, if it clears up, come back to us. Brother Jim, thank you. But the point that you began with is that, yes, we are well beyond that. Whose mic is open?
Jim.
Okay. Tiffany, just, okay, thank you. So a lot has happened, and the essence of this paragraph we read on 170 is still very pertinent, that our king is here. He is changing and taking control, but it is not all accomplished by over 100 years ago. But it is progressing. So we have a hand from Brother Igor.
Brother Jerry, it's okay if we're repeating things?
If it adds some perspective.
Okay.
Add some thoughts, yes.
Idea is, if we're looking at this paragraph, and it's speaking about first impression, right? When you read the paragraph, very first sentence is speaking that this has happened. Right next to, like the next one, is speaking that it still continue. That's the impression to me, and I was going to read it. Maybe I don't understand English. All right. In the preceding chapter, we presented evidence showing that the time of Gentiles or their lease of dominion will run fully out with the year AD 1914. This is very clear. Done. 1914. Now the question is from here on. And that at that time they will be overturned and the Christ kingdom fully established. Done. fully established. Now the next one is saying that the Lord must be present, okay, and set up his kingdom. How that's possible? First of all, fully established, and now from 80 to 74, he's present, and he's established his kingdom. What we're missing here?
Okay. The setting up is a process. I think that helps us put the idea of what it means. The last phrase that you say, that the Lord must be present and set up his kingdom. He was present even before 1914. Notice the next paragraph, which we're going to get into here very shortly, says that evidence that 1874 was the date of the beginning of the times of restitution, hence our Lord's return. I don't know how others would read it, what you just said. But it seems to me that he's saying since our Lord's return, he is setting up. And Brother Russell expected it to be fully set up by 1914. But he is setting up since 1874 and even after 1914 continues. But think about it. Okay, add more comment.
Well, it's probably the comment, yes. So what you're saying is from 1914, Brother Russell is still alive. Actually, two more years, and he's seeing that this is not completely finished. It's still running. It's still on. And now Heavenly Father gave him another 2 years, and now he's...
Preface.
Okay. He is adding, is not changing entire volume 2, but he's just put a very important notes on the very beginning of the book that this actually prophecy is still on. It's not finished in 1914.
I think that's what this is true, yes.
Okay.
So just to add, when he wrote this paragraph was in 1889, long before 1914. But when he wrote the beginning and we read, it was after 1914. And as you say, he saw the work continuing. Please.
Now, Sister Margaret is with the hand up. Why I'm asking all these things is just because apparently for maybe you, it's a little simple, but from some of us, maybe it's a little complicated. Okay. Because he was the teacher. He is our pastor, and he writes this and so forth. Now, after 2 years, this is still on till these days. It's still on. Now, we know that some of the brethren, they didn't understand this and was a problem between the brethren how to understand and moving on with these things. And that's why where Brother Tim was starting reading, it says that it was a big încercare. Big trials between the brethren after that.
Yeah.
So how will come in this? It was a trial, a big trial. Some of them, they understood, they agree with this, and they said, oh, okay. Now we're still seeing this, it's still running on, it's still on, it's still open. Others said, no. And that's where starting, you know, the trials to be between brethren.
Yes. So I think that you're saying that if we didn't have the foreword, some would say, well, 1914, it was set up with the church all beyond the veil, all complete, if we didn't have a further perspective. Yeah. But with this explanation, realizing that the Gentile times, as far as the government's concerned, that was true. but it did not mean that the church would be finished at that time. Okay, we have some hands online. Sister Margaret, please.
Yes, just in addition to the foreword on the top of page 5350, Brother Russell, reprint 5350, Brother Russell addresses a criticism of his statements, a criticism from an outside minister, I believe it was, as to his apparent positiveness here. He addresses it that it isn't quite the way it appears to be to this other person. But I did want to, there's so many scripture phrases in this one paragraph. I did want to read, well, of course we know that the times of the Gentiles is referenced in Luke 21:24, but I did want to read Ezekiel 21:27. Well, I'll read 26 and 27 because Ezekiel 21:27 was referenced in the foreword. But Ezekiel 21:27, it addresses the overturning, where there's the footnote as well. Ezekiel 21:26. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem, take off the crown. Thou shalt not be the same. Exalt him that is low and abase him that is high. I will overturn it until it shall be no more, until he come whose right it is, and I will give it to him. So that's where it indicates that our Lord has to be present. I think that was the question being asked also, that all of these kingdoms, the Gentile kingdoms, would be overturned. And of course, Brother Russell so well identified ahead of time that this was from 606 to 1914. So I believe that's well established. And then, of course, we're familiar with Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings, and of course the kings were until 1914, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be not left to other people, and so forth. So again, it's another confirmation of what Brother Russell really so well presented to us ahead of time. He thought that it may not happen so quickly. Before 1914 even, he thought things may not go along as quickly as he thought. And of course, he confirmed it after that. I think that's sufficient. Thank you.
Thank you. And as has been well brought out by everyone, his understanding about the ending of the Gentile times was consistent, but what would occur at that time, he saw would continue as the overthrow of the old order to establish the new. We have a hand from Brother Brad.
Yeah, Brother Jerry, I just am thinking that, you know, we're focusing on the, in the volume here, the dates, times of the Gentiles, the duration, and how the chronology brings us to that point. And that's all very helpful and instructive, but there's additional lessons that I think are also really valuable. And we can kind of extract it out of what's said in this paragraph and the foreword and our discussion. And that is that, you know, Brother Russell never claimed to be a prophet. In fact, he denied any kind of divine inspiration, but, you know, claimed that he was a student of the scriptures and that he was doing his best, you know, to try and understand, lay out what the scriptures lay out, and including chronological study. But there's another aspect too, and that is, I think it involves the idea of patience. And I'd like to read Revelation 14:12, and this is the seventh occurrence of the word patience in the book of Revelation. So that's interesting. The word patience is used seven times, and this is the last time. And this is in the harvest chapter. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So this is kind of really written to the harvest church, that there will be a demand on our patience. And there are expectations. But I just like to read one more sentence that I think is really helpful, and I'm sure everybody's so familiar with it, but I like to read it. It's reprint 5950. And Brother Russell wrote, some of us were quite strongly convinced that the harvest would be ended by now, but our expectations must not be allowed to weigh anything against the facts. The fact is that the harvest work is going grandly on and is not ended by any means. So he really, and the final point that I'd like to just make is that Brother Russell, as an individual and his character, came through just shining. When this disappointment came, he handled it with humility. He tried to handle it by, you know, looking at, well, what did we miss? What have we misunderstood? And I just think that there's a grand lesson in there, too, of character development and the character of the person that the Lord used as the harvest messenger. That is a very important lesson as well. Over.
Thank you so much, Brother Brad. Okay, we have one hand online and two here. So, okay, so Brother Tim just saying, don't speak so fast. not only for translation, but for ourselves to absorb. I'm going to take the hand from Brother Jim. Hope your throat is back. But after this and another comment or two, I think we're going to go on to the next paragraph because this subject has been covered, I think, very well. Brother Jim.
Yeah, I'm hoping my throat's better, too. Margaret mentioned something which I think is rather interesting. The Lord said that he would overturn it the three times until his right, you know, Jesus would come. It's interesting, in Daniel, the seventh chapter, you have three times in which he talks about watching, which is one with Babylon, then Greece, and then Rome, again, three times. So it was, those are, and it's overturning those. So now it's the overturning of them, which I think is what began in 1914. All right, that's the first overturn. World War II, second overturn. And I think we're still waiting for the third one, which will actually inaugurate the kingdom, which would be World War probably III. I'm not sure exactly, you know, how that's going to happen, but we'll watch and wait and see. Over.
Now, very nice thoughts, Brother Jim. Thank you. Sister Robin, what's perspective here?
I'm going to be sort of simple. I think a lot of the problems are that many don't think things can be done when they can't see Jesus. And we had this whole discussion how he's invisible and these actions. We have to look at the actions to say, oh, this is being done. Now, I had a very eye-opening experience of gathering chickens. I could not say to those chickens, go into your pen. Needed three of us to gather them together. I had to be present. The examples that Jesus gave of his presence, we have to recognize that he has to be present to do this. The destruction of the governments, he has to be present as he's destroying it. The increase of knowledge, he has to be present for that increase of knowledge. The gathering of the Jews to the land of Israel, he had to be present. That's all.
That's quite an interesting illustration. That's just a picture came to my mind about these chickens. I suppose Luchika knows, too. You can't just crawl out the door and say, go back. Sometimes you got to be there and move them away. And so the old order is being moved away because there is a new control. And their frustrations are being shown. Very interesting illustrations, Sister Robin. Well, I would just encourage brethren to read that 1916 foreword, the 5950 that was mentioned, several of the other articles, quite helpful. 5310 also was mentioned. These are later articles dealing with this focus. But anyway, the point that Brother Russell is making in this paragraph that we read was the king must be present to do the work. Okay, I'm going to read one more paragraph, and maybe we'll get to two. Who knows? Brother Walt, are you there? And could you read the next paragraph that wraps to 171 and give us some thoughts on it?
Yes. The next chapter will present Bible evidence that 1874 AD was the exact date of the beginning of the times of restitution, and hence our Lord's return. Since that date, he has been verifying his promise to those in proper attitude of watchfulness. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meet, and will come forth and serve them. Luke 12:37. Even so, he has opened unto us the Scriptures, showing us truth concerning his present glorious nature, the object, manner, and time of his coming, and the character of his manifestations to the household of faith and to the world. He has drawn our attention to the prophecies which definitely locate us on the stream of time, and has shown us the order of his plan of operations in this harvest time. He has shown us first of all that it is a harvest of the saints, a time for their ripening and for their separation from the tares, and secondly that it is a time for the world to reap its whirlwind harvest, for the reaping of the vine of the earth and the treading of its fruitage in the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. He has shown us that both of these ripenings, Revelation 14:1-4, 18-20, will be completed in a period of 40 years, ending with the year AD 1915. I think a lot of this goes along well with the paragraph and the comments that have been made that since his return, he's been very busy. It's judgment begins with the house of God, and as that Luke 12:37 beautifully cites it, that he comes and encourages those that are looking and waiting in a proper attitude of heart. That Revelation 3:20, Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. And it just shows the personal care of our elder brother for his bride and preparing them. As the paragraph very ably points out a number of activities that our returned Lord is doing: the establishment of his kingdom, the revealing of the prophecies, the manner and time of his coming, and many, many things. I think, again, a text that's often quoted, Revelation 11:17-18. 17 starts, saying, we give unto thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry. Thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. So the Lord primarily is dealing with his brethren and winding up the works of development of the little flock, and does this by revealing of the truth, and he also shows his mighty works in the earth and the destruction of the old order and the establishment of the new. Over.
Well, there's a lot in that. Thanks, Brother Walt. As you were comparing Luke 12:37 with Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it seems to me that John, when he was writing Revelation, had maybe just read Luke's account, because it's very much the same in Luke. Please pull up again, Luke 12:37. Whom the Lord will find watching. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord will find, shall come, shall find watching. He shall gird himself and make them to sit down for the meal and come forth and serve them. So his knocking and presence is accompanied with a meal. He brings the dinner with him at the door. Interesting thoughts. Okay, so we have some more hands here. And Sister Sharon, and then I'll go to Brother Igor.
I've appreciated the comments, Brother Jerry. And I wanted to a couple of scripture and then a fourth volume reference. The scripture is Jeremiah 25, verse 32. Jeremiah 25, verse 32, in connection with what is happening on the earth. Maybe I'll start with 31. Okay, so Jeremiah 25, 31 and 32. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. And then this, my text, verse 32. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from the nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And then in the fourth volume, pages 12 and 13. Oh, I moved my finger. Oh, my.
Just summarize if you want.
I wanted to read a sentence on the last part of page 12 of the fourth volume. It says, the Lord is an everlasting king. His wrath of the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. A noise comes to the end of the earth, for the Lord hath controversy with the nations, which is what Jeremiah text just said. And then down for a little bit more in that paragraph, it says, saith unto the Lord, the day that I rise up to pray, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them indignation, even all fierce anger, for the earth and the present social order shall be devoured. Over.
Thank you very much. And I see also a hand from the Igor to continue.
Yes, Brother Jerry, I'm looking for our discussion, and what we have on the next paragraph is speaking for those who have the attitude of watchfulness. That means they have to have the spirit of the Lord and the right condition of the heart to understand or to be willing to understand, and not to be a teachers to teach somebody, but to learn and to be humble. And I'm looking, and I put this on the chat right here. What's that mean to be find watching? It says, some will see the fulfillment of the prophetic declarations respecting the day of the second presence and the marvelous unfolding of the divine plan of the ages, and will recognize it as one of the signs of the presence, not watching the sky as through they will see Jesus, but watching the Bible testimonies, watching the trend of the times, watching their own hearts, watching also the interest of the Church of God. And a little bit more, but that's the idea. Over.
Thank you very much. Very good comments. And Sister Amanda, please.
Well, I was thinking that right here, I see an error that Brother Russell made. But of course, with the preface, the foreword. So right here, the error where he says the ripenings will be completed. So he humbly said that he saw that wrong. And so Luke 12, farther down, happy are those slaves who the master on coming finds them watching. And if he comes in the second watch, even in the third, and finds them ready, happy are they. But know this, if the householder had known at what hour the thief would come, he would not have let his house be broken into. So, we can't say, and so that was, it's not this will happen. And so the 40 years, I think that it may have been, wrong to look at that as a type of the Jewish age, and to consider that the tarrying of the 40 years that Jesus spent from his birth to his baptism. But now I'm kind of confusing things, so I'll try to stick to the topic. And I'm really, I apologize. I just have a lot of information, like a deck of cards that I'm trying to shuffle in. And I really appreciate Sister Robin's chicken analogy, because I feel like one of those chickens who needs special help. And I really appreciate Jehovah and Jesus and the Brotherhood taking the patience and the time with me. So thank you all, because if it hadn't gone on for this long, then I, you know, none of us would be here, but especially me. So that zeal does, it burns in my heart, and I'm just really working on how to funnel that. And I thank you all for being part of that. Over.
Well, thank you so much for all the hands in the room here as well. And as you say, Amanda, it's getting our mind around these things, that some things are said very specifically about the period of 40 years ending with 1915, of having 14 completed, that a lot has happened, but the perspective needs to be balanced that things continue even afterwards. And Brother Bill Thacker.
Just real quick, Brother Jerry, I appreciate the fact that we read the foreword, and you emphasize that we should read that again. And I just want to say that especially the last paragraph in that foreword, he talks about how Brother Russell talks about how he made a mistake with the parallels and so forth. So I think that really helps.
Helps the balance. It does not invalidate what happened in 1914, but it opens the door to continuing the work afterwards. I don't know. How are we doing here? Do we have time for David to read the last paragraphs? Because I think it does put into some perspective here what we've been talking about. If there's some point you'd like to make more on the paragraph that Walter read, fine. But David, if you were there, could you read the last one up to the, actually there's a little one sentence after the last paragraph on the next page. Could you read that, David?
Yeah, thank you, Brother Jerry. But while the reader is thus informed of what will be the proved in succeeding chapters, he must not expect to have passages of scripture pointed out in which these matters and these dates are plainly written. On the contrary, he must bear in mind that all these things have been hidden by the Lord in such manner that they could not be understood or appreciated until the due time had come. And then, only by his earnest, faithful children, who esteem truth as more precious than rubies, and who are willing to seek it as men search for silver. Truth, like silver, must be not only mined, but also refined, separated from dross before its value can be appreciated. The things here stated in few words will be proved by point by point, and while many may prefer to take a statement without the trouble of verifying it from the scripture, this will not be the case with the real truth seeker. He must, so far as possible, make every point, argument, and proof his own, direct from God's word, by tracing all the connections and thus convincing himself of the truthfulness of the account presented. Though the Lord provides it, and the servants bring forth the meat in due season for the household, yet each, to be strengthened thereby, must eat for himself. And if, Brother Jerry, if I can make a small comment.
Please.
This is actually a really nice way to conclude the chapter, but I was thinking specifically at Proverbs 2:4, compares seeking wisdom to mining silver and hunting hidden treasures, demanding active, exhaustive effort. Well, really, for us, it's a rewarding effort, because whenever we find these things, it just joys our heart. And I was also thinking that the seeking has to be a diligent effort, personal effort, direct verification, with the Bible. Try to find, just like we do in our studies, try to find so scriptures that, conclude what is being said or read. Unlike the casual seekers who just, go to church and listen to whatever is given and say, okay, yeah, this is a good idea. It's not bad, but just like the pastor says here, casual acceptance without verification disqualifies one from the true understanding. It's really interesting. So, let's see. And then at the end here. Yeah, I think that kind of concludes my thought, but I think the main idea is to really go far for ourselves and try to read and study the best we can, because this is, it's more than silver for us, and we should put in the same effort, if not more, than the miners for rubies. So, thank you.
And thank you. So it may be hidden from many, but for the truth seeker that does the mining, and your text in Proverbs 2:4 was so nice. And as you read that, Brother David, I was thinking of the next chapter, Proverbs 3, 13 and 14, and very similar type of text. But first I'm going to go to Brother Walt, please.
Appreciated Brother David's comments. I'm sure everybody's mind probably went to Acts 17:11 of Acts. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Seems to encapsulate the thought of the paragraph, that the truth was received and rejoiced in, but then well studied out to prove it to the individuals in Berea. Over.
Thanks, Brother Walt. You cited Acts 17:11, and that reminds me that over across the street, signing on to the new server over there, the password is Acts 17:11. So it's kind of nice to have these texts before us. Anyone else on how can a truth seeker understand things that are hidden? Sister Sharon and Sister Amanda. Okay, Amanda, please, Amanda.
When I first started studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses, one of their songs that I really liked, I wrote it down and I'd like to read it to you. It's called Make the Truth Your Own. The way of the truth is the best way of living, but no one can live your life for you. So take the advice that Jehovah is giving. Believe what he tells you is true. Make the truth your own. Make it live. Yes, make it real. And then feel the joy Jehovah gives you when you make the truth your own. The effort you make and the time you are spending in service to God and his kingdom will yield rich results and a life that's unending, a life full of good things to come. Compared to our God, we are all little children and need his direction and counsel. So walk every day with our Father in heaven, receive his rich blessings in full. Make the truth your own. Make it true. Yes, make it real. And then feel the joy Jehovah gives you when you make the truth your own. One of the Bible verses that was stated for this was John 8:31-32. Then Jesus went on to say to the Jews who had believed him, if you remain in my word, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's one of my favorite verses. Over.
So nice, particularly with the John 8:31-32 reference, but also the thought that this true seeking will yield results. It will reveal blessings. For those that are not seeking, it's still a blind matter. Sister Sharon, and then we'll come closer to closing.
Okay, about quick, Brother Jerry. I went back to page with Brother Walt's comments, and then now Sister Amanda's thought on making the truth your own. Back on page 163 of our second volume, the first paragraph there, the last line says, I will communicate the fact to all who are watching and faithful, and they only will have any right to know. All others should and must be in outer darkness and must learn with and as the world through trouble. So that, to me, brings into what we just read. And then the scripture to go along with that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. So 1 Thessalonians 5:5-6. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. I think that goes along with Brother Walt and Brother David's comments. Over.
Thank you for those additional perspectives. I really appreciate the balance of input today of all the comments. Sometimes there were more hands up than I could keep track of. Hope I didn't miss anyone. But encourage everyone to participate in the next meeting also, because it's been a great blessing for me to hear all your thoughts in this one and to make additional notes. But summarizing, connecting the prophetic chain, our Lord has returned as Earth's new king. The restitution process is beginning. The destroying process of the old order is continuing. The Gentile times have run out, but for those that are children of the day and watching, the truths will be revealed. Very nice thoughts. Thank you so much. We sang the poem.